Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So the pandemic's still not over. Surprise, surprise. We start Monday looking at the numbers from over the weekend, and we are lucky to be joined by State Senator and Dr. Siobhan Donovan. Once again, how are you this morning?
Good morning, John. I'm well, thank you. I hope you are, too.
I'm terrific. Thank you very much. It looks like a lot of people are freaking out that Virginia has crossed the 100,000 threshold. So as of yesterday, we were 100,086 cases of COVID in the state, which, of course, if you're not a thinking person, sounds bad, except I'm counting up March, April, May, June, July. Now we're almost to the middle of August. Doesn't seem to me that we should be freaking out. And I see it doesn't ever say how many of these cases are cleared. So in 5.5, almost 6 months, we're at that. That doesn't freak me out.
Doesn't freak me out either. My question to those people, including the media, who like to report total cases is, mm-hmm. why are you scared? Mm-hmm. Because the reason they're scared is that they believe that variable defines deadly risk. Mm-hmm. And that variable does not define deadly risk. And I would suggest, as I look at the graphs of the incidence of positive tests, which were at like 7.4% in Virginia on a regular weekly basis, that is exactly what we should expect. We are looking at utilization of our ICUs and our ventilators. We're at 19% utilization of ventilators in Virginia, 80% ICU occupancy. Honestly, that's the level of occupancy when there is no COVID. So I think that unfortunately, the media has so deafened individuals' ability to assess what the risk factors are for true concern, that they take the one number that goes up every day, number of cases, and they use that to intimidate people and create fear. And it's really irresponsible. And it's irresponsible of the state to do so as well.
So what should the recalibration be, especially with the General Assembly coming back in, not this week, but next week? What should the recalibration be? And do you intend to speak to that when the session reconvenes?
I hope we'll have the opportunity to speak to data. I'm just off a conference call this morning, mm-hmm. and I don't think there's going to be a lot of opportunity to speak at all. Mm-hmm. I'm told that there are going to be no accepted member budget amendments. So that means we're going to get a budget. How can that be? And so that's my thought exactly. How do we have a collaborative, democratic process of debate with a variety of ideas bubbling up from the entire state if everything is centrally controlled as it has been throughout the pandemic?
So the Democrat leaders are just going to offer you a bill and it's take it or leave it. And of course, they'll then crack the whip and make all of their members vote for it and you get no say in it at all?
I think that's a possibility and maybe even a likely one. So there will be debate. I think what we need to do, recalibrate's a really good way to say it. I think that a responsible way to look at the data would be to share with the public what are the expectations we have going forward. Because I think if you look at the graph of Virginia now, and I'm not an expert, but I've been trying to educate myself as best I can and track this, mm-hmm. and I know a little bit about disease process. I think that if you look at the Virginia curve, we're going to have an indolent, ongoing, kind of oscillating line of percent positives as we go forward. people are going to get the virus. We know that. That is self-evident. The question is, how many of those people are going to be dangerously ill? Can we protect the at-risk populations? Can we provide hospitalization for people who get sick, even those that are unexpected and maybe don't have risk factors? And the answer right now is yes, yes, and yes. We can do all those things. And that's why we all paused. I know people can't remember this, but we all paused to get ahead of the curve. We're ahead of the curve. The rest of the country has different issues. You look at some of the southern and western states, they didn't spike when we did. And so but still, none of them have run out of capacity. Remember when we talked about Italy? Yeah. And Italy was triaging who they would care for and who they would not. And we said, never in America. Never happened. Never happened in America. So there are variables you can control and variables you can't control. The virus will be caught by people. The question is, can we limit it to people who will not be sick with it? Can we track and make sure those numbers stay low? Can we use really good science to prevent transmission and limit it when it happens, when we have outbreaks, and we're doing all those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, looking at the numbers, you've got, I mean, and I'm sure these are not suppressed numbers, 100,086 total cases, 8,369 of those with hospitalizations, and only 2,326 deaths over the course of 5.5 months in a state with 8.5 million people. I would hope that the General Assembly would come back in and recalibrate and kind of push back on some of the things the governor has done, even if you want to give them the benefit of the doubt and assume benign and nice and done for the right reasons. It's probably.
I have asked the Department of Health and Virginia Department of VHHA to change the way they track numbers and publish now what the new positive tests by demographic. All we have is demographic since February. Mm-hmm. We can't discern who's getting the virus now. When you say we need to reset and recalibrate, we do, because we can't assess risk without understanding what the data is right now.
And where
they're
the
not
risk
publishing
is.
That, and they won't do it.
Do you think the reason for that is political? Yeah. That they don't want certain communities to be identified as... I mean, it's not their fault, I guess, unless they were out protesting with, 5,000 people without protecting themselves. Is that the reason why they wouldn't update data?
I don't like to assess intent to other people, but mm-hmm. I'd say it doesn't serve their narrative. Mm-hmm. Their narrative is we all remain paralyzed. We don't open schools. We don't open businesses. We remain paralyzed in fear. And, my narrative is learn to live with it. We have got to make sure our kids are safe and are educated, and we've got to make sure our economy survives. And so to discern data relevant to my narrative, that would be valuable information. But to perpetuate their negative with the media, we talk about how terrifying the numbers of cases are because big numbers sound scary.
Yeah. Yeah, let's get the facts on the table and try to dissect it objectively. I don't have to win the argument. I just like to know what the story is.
Honest conversation.
Siobhan Donovan, Dr. Siobhan Donovan, State Senator Siobhan Donovan, really appreciate the fact that we get to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, John.